Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the program. My name is William Hemsworth. It's a pleasure to be with you again today. Honored to have my guest. He's been on a couple times. Always a pleasure to have him on. He has so many great things to talk about. He's the founder of FreedomCoaching.net. Helps men overcome porn addiction. It's just a fantastic ministry he's doing. So honored to have him on. Steve McCorney. Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed, brother. William, it's an honor to celebrate with you this Easter season. So where Christ is risen and risen from the dead, truly.
Amen. Such a great time of year, not only because of the resurrection, which is enough in itself, but I love seeing all the new people coming into the church. It's just so exciting to see and Amen. Love to see their passion. It's so fun. So what have you been up to since last time we spoke? It's been a few months and you've been pretty busy.
Man, it's been crazy. What God has done and blessed us, and for those who are unaware, Freedom Coaching is that which we work with those men and women who are dealing with a compulsion or an attachment to pornified images, lustful lifestyles, to help break them of that and to do it in a permanent way, which is a total blessing. And God, over the past 12 months, has brought on our team four. So I'm not a lone wolf here anymore. There are four other coaches working with us. There's hopefully two more on the way. And we've been developing our own podcast. We have a 12-part series called Redeeming Our Vision, which you can find at redeemingourvision.com. Has been released after about 3 months worth of work, 3 years worth of work. So it's been a total blessing. Let's share a little bit about it.
All right. So the 12-part series, what does it entail?
Sure. So what this is basically walking us through the truth about the pornified culture that we live in. And the idea is that, you know, we are surrounded in what we call the septic tank, and we're all swimming in it. And sadly, many people are unaware of it. Right now, if you're coming from the Catholic side, I think some people know are aware to a degree. But I always like to ask, you know, how many homilies have you ever heard on pornography? How many of us have really examined what pornography is doing in our lives? So here in the 12-part series, we really go deep into some of the issues of it. But then we start to unveil, you know, what is God's plan for our life? How do we find substantial, significant answers to this? And I think, of those who are aware of the problem, very few are aware of what do we actually do about it to actually solve the problem. And I think the series opens a gateway to really having that discussion about substantial answers to this. So there's many of them are in that series, and it opens up for a wider discussion that there's much more we can do so that we can live the life God is calling us to live.
So is it meant to be like in a group setting or individual? What's that like?
Good question. So it's multi-tiered for those who are interested. So certainly you can go and view this as individuals, but it's also designed especially for parishes and diocesan. There's a parish and diocesan license because we want to make sure that we can get this access to as wide an audience as possible. And a lot of it is to start the conversation. So it makes an easy way to be able to discuss it. So, and from here, like the title is Redeeming Our Vision. And the idea is we're all blind. We've all grown blind, especially from sin, but especially in the culture which we live that does not help us to see one another in truth. And it's, and especially through the idea that eroticized images, that's the only vision we have for life that's presented to us in many of the media forms. And we want to say that the church has a profound vision for love and life that really actually satisfies. And so when you tap people into and start having them really examine to question the reality that's presented in front of us, is this the way that life was meant to be? And I think if we're honest, no, which then begs the question, the ache, the hurt that we feel in our heart points us to something more. And I, and through this series, I want to help people to get in touch with the more and then pursue that with their whole lives. And it, and what we've seen through this series is just transformation. And I, and just one of the guys who was on the, in the filming of it, he was working the audio and he was listening to this and he pulled me aside at the, towards the, one of the breaks, and he said, this is really powerful stuff. And the more that I got to talk to him, I found out that he worked on a ship out in the Mediterranean, because he was from that area. And so we can say he was a seaman, pardon the pun. And he, along with 12 or 15 other guys, when they were on breaks, what they all did, they all pulled out their phones and were looking at porn. Okay? So this is so very much epidemic of the culture, and especially, you know, various places where people are isolated here. So we want to help to draw them into a deeper reality that God has much more for you. And so we want to invite them to come to learn what that is and to begin to live it.
Okay. So how does that tie into your book? Because I know your book is, your book is very powerful as well, you know, overcoming a pornified culture. And I love that title because it speaks volumes. How does that tie in?
Sure. So good question, William. So the book itself is called Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture. So you got Redeemed Vision is the book. Redeeming Our Vision is the series. So the book is a 460 page, well worth tome, shall we say. It's well worth reading. It's about 14 years worth of research. And for those who really want to go deep, please do. Please pick it up because it's well worth the read. But again, we're a very visual culture, right? And we're, and many people are, you know, finding, can I just watch something? Isn't there something I could just watch? Here's where we've provided the option for that. And I want to make it very clear, though, the series does not replace the book because there are so many other concepts in the book that just, there's no possible way we can get to all of them. So they're really going to work hand in hand in there. And if I can get my act together, there will be a study guide to go along with Redeeming Our Vision. So stay tuned for that. And if you're in the praying mode, then I request your prayers on that.
Oh, definitely. And with everything you have going on, we'll definitely keep you in prayer with that. So definitely pick up both of those because it's something our culture needs, especially well in times like this with everyone on lockdown. Like you said, those phones are so handy. And just offhand, Steve, and I know it's how much has porn consumption gone up since the pandemic started? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, no, it's obviously has gone up. The a couple of the stats that I saw, and this was very early, one of the early articles, I think it was from July. This is just one area of the globe, and they found in near Malaysia or two major things. So you got I think it's Malaysia or it's right around that area. They found that that pornography consumption, actually child pornography, had gone up 267%. Okay. And this is a huge area about March through May of that. So we're talking 2 months worth had gone up. And then I do know this is just the other, about a week or so ago, Operation Underground Railroad, which is headed by Tim Ballard and his team, which has a lot of work in breaking down education on sex trafficking, but also going into bust up sex trafficking rings, foreign and domestic. And they, in Taiwan, they found the single largest trove of it that they've ever, and they've been doing this work for 5-6 years now, I believe, of breaking down. They found the single largest trove of child pornography images. Okay, so this issue, if if we're paying attention, is not going away anytime soon, especially with all the things that are coming out. I think 2020, and you know, I try to look at this from God's perspective. 2020 has been a profound year of revealing, of God helping us to begin to see things, realize things aren't, or to quote the prophet, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, right? There's something wrong with the world today. We don't know what it is. There's something wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things that aren't God's. And God knows it's not his. I'm paraphrasing there, right? So we're living on the edge. Sorry if anybody didn't know the quote from that. And from this, and I could scream it out, but I want to have your listeners stay with us, William. So within this year, it's been a profound opening. We've been finding that a ton of celebrities have been caught into a lot of this lifestyle, kind of child trafficking, much more darker stuff with things, persons like Jeffrey Epstein, and a lot of major Hollywood players here. So this is a huge player, and especially obviously it's pushed by the Hollywood elites in their movies, things like that. But then obviously we're seeing this in movies, magazines, obviously on the internet, and sadly caught right in the middle. And we mentioned child trafficking. So many kids are getting trapped in the middle, just being on their phones, being isolated, having to do Zoom calls for school, things like that. Their parents have to work, so they're left alone on a screen for 8-10 hours a day. Well, they're going to get bored and they're going to start surfing. And then you have horrific things like one thing that happened at our school is there's a girl ran away from home, went out about 2.5 hours away, and I'm not going to mention locations for the situation. And 2.5 hours away, mom comes and gets daughter. She runs away again, comes to live with her grandma, only to find that it was mom running a trafficking ring of which her daughter is a part of. Okay, this is at my front door. This is at our happen as the a mom of somebody at our school, and we're at a very good school. And we're very thankful for it. It's a public charter school. So, like, to think this stuff is somewhere else, we have to wake up to the reality. And then the beauty of it, that there's an answer to this. There's an answer to these issues here. We don't have to lament and throw up our hands and say it's all hell in a handbasket. No, there's a lot of brokenness. But remember, we're an Easter people. We believe in redemption. We believe that God can redeem everything, and we need to enter into that plan.
Right. Steve, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was theology of the body, because it's a very important thing. I know a lot of Catholics have heard about it, maybe don't know exactly what it is. So maybe what is it, and how does porn undermine that?
Sure. Great question. So not a softball question, but we'll go.
It's a big one.
it's a big question, right? And I remember when I first was studying this, I discovered this back in 2002, 2004. It still was, I estimate, about 4% of Catholics knew about it. And I still think we still are scratching the surface. Okay. More and more people hear about this, but they're still trying to, you know, what is all this? So on a basic level, it's a series of 129 public audiences or public short talks that St. John Paul the Great gave between 1979 and 1984. When he was in Rome, took a year off the Year of the Family, which was 1981, and then also in recovery from the assassination attempt. And what this is, nothing more, is a teaching on the very meaning of life. And if you look around our culture, we want meaning. People are crying out. And either we're going to go, like recently, I think the rapper DMX, I was listening to another podcast, he recently overdosed. And to those who are big in the rap community, this is a huge, huge blow. But if you go in and you investigate a lot of his music, it can be described as very violent, very sexually permissive. But it's this crying out, and we're seeing this in a lot of the popular music, just to stay there, this crying out for meaning. Because if we don't have genuine meaning in our life, then we're going to think that life is meaningless. And just take one analogy, William, and then I'll be silent. So you can ask a follow-up, and we'll go into pornography in a second. Sure. Is like our world says that there's no God, and thus we didn't come from anywhere, right? And we're becoming much more, not just a post-Christian era, but an anti-Catholic era, right? Where basically the idea that anybody who follows traditional Catholicism or even traditional Christianity is a threat to a person's happiness, right? And so the belief and teaching is there's no God. and thus we didn't come from anywhere. And on the other end is when we die, our bodies are simply going to rot, and thus we're not going anywhere. And if you don't know where you came from or where you're going, where are you? You're lost. And so then you have in the middle here, right, we can find all these various different pursuits. One of those, for instance, is that, drugs, sex, and rock and roll, right? Pornography being one of those, right? All these little pursuits here. But if it's not in accord with our dignity as human beings, and B, it's not tethered to eternal meaning, or we would say eternal truth, then what happens here, it becomes meaningless. The pursuit becomes meaningless. And because I've identified myself with that pursuit, and that's what happens in many cases, we get wrapped up in all these little things, then we find ourselves feeling meaningless ourselves. And then this is a quick road down to feeling hopeless and despair. And now we get into a culture that is very much looking like wanting to just end it all, right? The suicide cult and wanting to seek out, you know, euthanasia for old and also not so old. So this recovery of meaning is critically needed. And I think this is especially why this great grace of theology of the body needs to be, I would say, arguably reintroduced to the church in many, many ways.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And you said something important. You know, there's an attack on, well, anti-Catholicism. And recently the Pope, you know, reaffirmed Catholic teaching, and there's a big uproar on the left side of things. But more than that, if there's no meaning, if we die and it's just, we're just rotting away, what's the worth to us?
Yeah. What does it matter? Well,
what's the meaning? So what's the meaning of life at that point? And I guess, yeah. Okay.
Wow. I mean, what is this?
Powerful.
I mean, yeah. I mean, and that's the whole thing. We look at the horror of our lives and we find that life has no meaning. So, and that's very dark, but let's flip it around. And we want to say there's a great light here. So the best way I can describe it is the fulcrum of history, not a what, but a who. The fulcrum is the linchpin of history. Okay. It's been said through theologians throughout the centuries that the cross, we oftentimes look at history through a linear lens. Mm-hmm. And what we want to say is we want to start looking through a circular lens, through the cross itself is what gives the ultimate meaning to life in perspective here. And what Jesus Christ does is he points us back to the beginning. That's where theology of the body kicks off, to discover what was life like in the beginning. We were created by God. We're good. We're beautiful. We are fallen, but we are redeemed, and we are bound for glory in and through our body. And William, I think this whole discussion about the body is critically important, right? Just take the issue of same-sex attraction. Just take this whole hullabaloo that certain, I would say, false theologians are pushing in the church, especially we're finding in the German, in many in the hierarchy of the German church, right. German Catholic Church, to say that same-sex that we should bless same-sex unions, right? And the Pope comes out and affirms a traditional Catholic teaching. And I think like there's a whole lot to unpack there, and we can certainly go there if we want. But in here is this question is, what is the meaning of the body? Does the body have intrinsic meaning? The fact that we see two halves of humanity created either male or female, that in certain places in Canada, if I'm Canada saying that publicly, I could be thrown in jail for that, right? And this is just what we want to say is reality. But the issue is we've reduced our body down to mere feeling. So if I don't feel what I look like in the mirror, then I need to change it. So and now it's not just the idea that maybe something's wrong. The idea is maybe something's wrong in a person's heart and head. Maybe that's what's going on here. Instead, the argument goes, well, if that internal stuff, what you feel is reality, so let's change the physicality. And these have profound implications, profound answers, right? Whereas, you know, we started this conversation talking about pornography, right? Well, yeah. I like to say that the pornified culture is pursuing and is stalking our children. It is the transgender movement, to a very real degree, is hunting our children, to say that basically what you're feeling is your reality. And from here, then you have to change it. So we have parents who are going along with doctors, doctors' pursuits to basically mutilate the bodies of their children, these puberty blockers. And if they're made permanent, there's permanent sterility. And remember, adolescence is a confusing time. It's a painful, painful time. But what we find is those, especially with same-sex attraction, studies have shown a vast majority of those children who experience same-sex attraction, by the time they're mid-20s, those attractions kind of work themselves out. But if we start messing with hormones very early on, we're talking 11, 10 years of age, 9 years of age, I've seen some articles on things. Those are irreversible. And then somebody like a person like Walt Heyer, which I recommend everyone take a look at, a man who was unhappy being born as a man, had a quote unquote sex change as a woman. And then he was educated in Berkeley. Berkeley is no fan of Catholicism, I would say. Right. But in his studies and things like that, finding and just being educated on this, those who experience this have many mental disorders. And doesn't mean the person's bad. I want to make that very clear. Yeah. Those who are hearing this, right? Those who have weaknesses or brokenness of pains in the mind does not mean that you itself are bad. It just means we're made for healing. We're made for wholeness. But if we are, but our culture wants to say that's the way you're born. That's the way you need to live this out. And that's your way to happiness. But more and more people are stepping up and saying, I'm not happy in this lifestyle, but I've done this damage to my body and I don't know how to get out of this. And all I want to bring this full circle, William, that all of these come back to, ironically, back to pornography.
Now you said something a minute ago. You talked about feelings and how that seems to have become the barometer of truth. Well, if that's the barometer of truth, then there's really no truth. Am I right?
No. Well, my truth is your truth, and your truth is, well, your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. And as long as you don't get in the way, then we'll be fine, right?
What if my truth says that your truth is a lie?
Well, then let's just take a Planned Parenthood approach and kill you. Right? I mean, is that not what it is, right? And we're hitting a whole kind of shotgunning a lot of issues here this morning. think about it.
It wasn't the intention, but it just happened to work out that way.
Spirit, right? I mean, you admitted here, like, we couldn't get this podcast started for 5 or 6 times on here. I think somebody doesn't want us talking about these things, and we need to. So, like, think about it, right? The pornified culture says that your value is based on your sex appeal, what you can provide for me, how you can go excite me, and things like that. And if you don't have that, then I can discard you. I can devalue you. I can even kill you. Is this not what we say when a woman, something goes right with the sexual act and she gets pregnant? Okay. She's in a tough situation. And the man says to her, just take care of it. Right. It's not because of women that abortion exists. It's because of men who don't have control over their passions. It's because of men who don't know what love is. And then you have women who buy the same lie, who their value is based on their sex appeal. That if they have a little too much weight here, or God forbid, I now have created space for another person, or I have the space and now this other person is here. We're gonna take what appears to be the simple answer. But remember, God always forgives, man sometimes forgives, nature never forgives, right? So if and this is countless stories of women who have regretted their abortions, of health issues that come from there, of breast cancer and of blood clots and lots of different things that have come from this, blood clots, especially from the hormonal contraceptive pill, all of this comes back to a faulty understanding of the body, that we're not seeing the body in truth, that we're created not to be used as objects. And that's precisely what the pornified vision gives, but that we are created to be loved. We're created, not the four deepest desires of the human heart are to see and be seen, to love and be loved. And when we don't have those in our life, right, when that absence and the ache is there, and by the way, I'm married, and whenever I have an argument with my wife, I sometimes don't feel that, and she doesn't feel that, right? So every person feels that. It's a matter, though, where are we going to meet that need? So I can either go into drug, sex, and rock and roll, right, inappropriately, or I can seek the healer And right now during Easter is a beautiful time to go to the healer, to have him reveal what is the meaning of our body so we can live out that meaning of the body in truth.
Right. So does it, you said it all goes back to porn. So it all goes back to seeing the opposite sex as an object of use then instead of for what they're created for?
So I would say that's part of it, William. That's okay. Really, really important. So, there's probably more than two here, but let's hit on two avenues. Obviously, one, what does pornography do? Pornography is training us to view the other person through the lens of use. Their purpose and value has only when they satisfy that there. And once that's gone, then I can discard and replace them. Just take the idea of the Tinder, right? What's Tinder all about? Tinder's about hooking up, right?
Right.
And Tinder's one outlet for the pornified culture. So I've never used Tinder, so I may use the wrong language here. But from what I've heard, like swipe, I'm happily married. Thank you.
Or swipe right. Swipe right is what I hear.
Is that what swipe right? Okay, I know nothing. So swipe right, or but if you don't like them, then you swipe left, right?
Right.
And they're replaceable. Swipe left, swipe left. And it's just the whole thing that I once heard about the commentary by Reed Mercer. I talk about this in chapter two of my book, of that Cosmo magazine is kind of has programmed women to choose men off the menu, men like they would a dessert off the menu. Okay, so it's on both avenues, and so that would be the one thing, right? We're dehumanizing the other, but more so, first and foremost, we're dehumanizing ourselves. Because we're putting ourselves in the place that my value is in what I look like, my value is in what I do, right? And all of this connects with the same-sex agenda, this connects with the transgender movement, this attached with the abortion lobby. All these different aspects flow from this one issue, but many people don't see this. And whereas in truth, how do you sum up the law from the Old Testament, right? You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, shall we say, and to love your neighbor as what?
Yourself.
As yourself. How am I supposed to love the other if I don't first love myself? And I think this is one of the epidemics of our culture is a lot of people don't believe that they're lovable. They don't think they think because of the mistakes that have happened, and let's face it, William, how many of us are really growing up in healthy, holistic families where we have healthy, honest, nurturing conversations about human sexuality? I didn't, and I know that things have not gotten better since I've grown up, right? And so from this, it's not there. And if these aren't affirmed in our childhood and continuously affirmed, you go out into a world. The world that doesn't care anything about you in many cases, then that if we don't think there's a way to get that met in truth, that's going to really be fulfilling, that's really good with us in accord with our dignity, then what happens is then it gets turned self. And we, again, the whole drug, sex, and rock and roll and whatever realm of that, of which the pornified culture, pornography use is obviously an outflowing of that.
Now, Steve, it sounds like this is kind of a gospel issue. Am I off base?
Oh, gosh, yes. No, what did Jesus Christ come? Like, what's the good news of the gospel? Jesus Christ came to give us more rules and to make us unhappy. Right? Is that what he came for? No. Jesus Christ came to set us free. I came to give sight to the blind, to unleash prisoners from their chains. Paraphrasing Isaiah 61, which is the first reading that Jesus does in the synagogue where he's at, right? And so he's come to set us free. And I think he's come to set us free from the lies in this day and age. I would say that this is the theology of the body is the keystone to be able to understand life, but it's also the satisfying solution for those who have grown up in this pornified culture, who have come to believe that my value is simply about what pleasure I can bring to others, which is a lie. You have a value in yourself. Every woman hearing this, your value is in who you are. Your body and all body parts are created not for another man or even for a baby. They're for you first and foremost. But then when we get this dignity, then, and we're living from that place, then we are to live our bodies for others. It's a paradox, right? And this is exactly what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to seek and find the lost, to heal us. All of us are wounded. And I think, especially in the church, we go to church, right? Or Even right now, many of our churches are shut down because of fear and cowardice, I would say. And from this here, you are what we're supposed to be hearing in church is this liberating message of liberation. But many times the homilies are esoteric. We're not hearing this. And I would argue that many of the priests out there have some issue with pornography themselves. Okay, it's not every priest by any means, but it's a number. And it's not a small number. We work with, I think there's three priests we have as clients, right, in Freedom Coaching. So this is an all hands on deck issue, but the gospel is liberation, and what the theology of the body does puts flesh on the gospel. What does it have to do with me? What does it do with my body? How does this unveil the meaning of life? And when we get this, William, we get this, it's like life comes alive. And hope is restored, because meaning is restored. And it's not just meaning here on earth, which is really important, but it's also because it's pointing us to heaven. And this changes everything.
Steve, what can you and I as individual Catholics do, not only for ourselves, but to help the culture around us with these issues?
Good question. Besides the William Hunsberg podcast coming on here,
no,
right? I would say it's a 3 or 4 point plan. Let's see how many points I come up with in this. So first is obviously come to know Jesus Christ. Come to know him intimately, personally, right? If you're Catholic, right, get to Mass, get praying there, go to adoration, pray the rosary, do these things, but especially contemplative prayer. Learn how to sit in silence. We have a culture that is a culture of noise that's trying to steal the ability to come in touch with these deep, deep desires. And before those deep desires are there, there may be an ache, there may be pain here. And we may be, a lot of our clients that we work with in Freedom Coaching, they like to run stuff or ignore those uncomfortable emotions. And what that's pointing to is oftentimes for a lot of us, we've got trauma. Jesus Christ is the one who ultimately can heal that, but you may need a medium in the right sense of the word, not a, please don't go to a soothsayer or a tarot card reader. That's not what I'm saying. But like a counselor, a coach who's able to work through those and help with healing, right? So that the first is like, we've got to work with our own wounds. And obviously there's always going to be more to work on, of course. Second is look at your vocation. What vocation are you in? If you're single, then obviously developing your skills and to quote Sarah Swofford, who said the best advice she ever got was in confession, where she was discerning her vocation, where the priest just said, Sarah, run. Start running. Start developing your skills, your talents, your gifts. You were created for some purpose here on earth to do good work. And as you're running, then and as you get into a kind of a good pace, then start looking around. Right? Start looking around and see who might be running with you. And that might be your life running partner. Okay, I think this is important because too many young people get caught up in, like, especially the Instagram and the Facebook and I don't know, Tinder or hopefully not Tinder, but Snapchat and all these social media, right, where I've got to look a certain way. I've got to be a certain way. I've got to have a certain flavor of the month right now, or follow the certain flavor of the month, instead of, again, coming back to your own identity and dignity, right? So you got to know that, right? But if you are, your vocation, you really feel like you're called to marriage, are you preparing for that? Are you living that well? And then in your marriage, if you are married, are we striving to love as Christ loves? And I know, William, you and everyone, please pray for our marriage. I know I don't do this perfectly, right? I know that I hurt my wife with my things. And so we've got to learn a key word, and it's called forgiveness. And another key word, humility, humble, right? To know that we don't have all the answers, we don't have it all, but through God's grace coming together, learning to build this well. So obviously there's lots of resources for marriage. And I do recommend to married couples, if you have not gone to a marriage coach or marriage counseling, right? I don't care if you think your marriage is rocking awesome or it's not so awesome, get help. Okay. Get a tune up, basically. Go on retreat, something that can help to do this, because many times we're so focused on our kids instead of about our marriage, right? And when the kids leave, I think the kids are going to leave. I hope they're going to leave some point. Please, God, please help them get a house. Leave on the right way, right? Right? I'm not kicking them out yet. but within this, right, then those kids leave, though, and you get an empty nest kind of thing, right? So you have that. And then, obviously, our time with our kids is so important. The solution to this, eat together. The family who eats together stays together. Family who prays together stays together. Father Patrick Peyton is the one who I came. Anybody doesn't know who that is, please check him out. Doing those different things, creating the environment for intimacy. We're at a a dearth of intimacy. And I think, William, this circles back to our conversation in the beginning of this with the C-19 pandemic, right? Being out here and totally keeping us locked inside. And I think people are still afraid. And what it's done, it's created this environment of a dearth of intimacy. And our children are suffering for this. So what we have to do is, we as parents, we got to work even more fiercely to protect that notion, but also know also what is the home life of their kids, the neighborhood kids that they hang out with, their friends they hang out with, right? Which is, it's an exhausting job, man. I am not perfect at this by any means, right? But getting our eye on the ball is really critically key. And then the fourth piece I would say, on some level, right, find a good church community that you can be a part of, right? If there's funny business, silly stuff going on in church, get out of that place. Go find a church where you can worship in, where Jesus Christ is king, where it's faithful to the sacraments, faithful to the true magisterium, and helping us to grow in holiness, right? Is your pastor challenging on those things, right? And that is a tall order for many places. It might mean that we need to drive several places. It might mean, if I know that some people like to go to the traditional Latin Mass. I'm Byzantine Catholic. We've got a small but mighty growing community, and really working to support each other through this. And but then also on this issue of pornography, we got to talk about it. Bring it out. And, we have lots of resources. Freedom Coaching is one of those resources. Redeeming Our Vision, or the series redeemingourvision.com, and also the book Redeemed Vision. Highly, highly recommend taking a look at these. But again, it's time to get aware and get educated and take action.
One more question, I'll let you go, Steve. And you touched on it a second ago. Why, with porn being such a billion-dollar industry, unfortunately, and it's out there, why are we so afraid to talk about it?
Wounds, William. Wounds, okay. Right? I think we have... And then that opens up a lot of elements, right? A lot of areas we can jump into. And very briefly is, how many of our families, how many of our parents ever really talked about this stuff? They didn't, because they were ashamed of some of the wounds there. And then in going on here, I mean, we're talking about at least 100 years of massive sexual wounds that was unleashed at least in the 1920s, if not earlier. Okay. And so this has become commonplace. And then many of us also, we make excuses. We think that our kids will be fine. The kids are resilient, right? And as long as I just safeguard them and block their technology, then they'll be safe. Well, they're going to go out into the world someday. And if we aren't having an explicit, not explicit in the sense of a holistic understanding of the truth about sexuality, age appropriately, through like what the church teaches in the document, The Truth and Meaning of Human Sexuality, right? Which is builds upon the work of theology of the body, I would argue, and traditional, the full truth of what the church has always taught on human sexuality and love and marriage and vocational work, right? So, and I would say also, William, is we have a radically, radically under-catechized populace in the Catholic Church. People just don't know, and they're not hearing from their parish. Encyclicals are not talked about in many cases, especially the encyclicals that came out from John Paul and Benedict. And so these things need to be rediscovered. So there's an old Kellogg's cornflakes that said, "Taste them again for the first time." So maybe we need to taste Catholicism for the first time. And most importantly, I would say, one of the answers is we've got to make Catholicism weird again, right? Go out and pray in public. Start talking to people about these things, right? What is, like, did you know the people that were really important in our faith, we like to take their bodies and cut them up into little pieces and pass them around the globe, okay? Right? That's weird. What's that all about? Tell me more about that, right? If anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, we're talking about relics here, people. Not they're not live, they're dead. Okay. So we're not like that. But we do eat and drink flesh and blood. We're cannibals, right? No. Jesus Christ is alive. We're not eating dead flesh, right? So those kind of things need to be brought out here, and we need to get educated. So this, a simple way to start this, not to overwhelm anyone, learn something. So, and I would say get educated about the pornified culture and how we can actually solve it, of which There's a lot of resources here with Redeemed Vision and redeeming our vision.
Great. Now, Steve, what's your website and how can people get a hold of you if they need to reach out?
Awesome. So freedom-coaching.net is the website, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. If you're, the handle is Redeemed Vision on there, you can shoot us a message right through the website and I'll get it. And then I'll be happy to respond to you.
Great. Now, thank you for coming on. I know we talked a lot of different topics, which was fun, but it was fun. But thank you for coming on and I wish you thank you for all you're doing for people out there. I see those testimonials and they're fantastic.
William,
so thank you.
Thank you so much. An honor to serve and blessings on you and your ministry and all those who are hearing this.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
This episode is brought to you by Hallow, the number one Catholic app. Hallow has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallow meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallow.com/breadbox.